This call is being recorded.
Good morning. Today is Thursday, May the 21st, 2020, and this is my ongoing series of interviews with Ann Levine, author of Law School Expert and a law school admissions counselor based in California. This is the third of our interviews, and today we're going to talk about the role that letters of reference play in the law school application process. Who to get letters of reference from, what should they say, how can the applicant influence the process, et cetera, et cetera. So really looking forward to this one. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
I'm doing well, John. Thanks for having me.
Okay. Well, I assume that that you've spent a lot of hours of your life talking with students about letters of reference.
That is a correct assumption.
All right. Well, starting from the beginning, it looks like pretty much every applicant is required to get them, correct?
Correct.
And what would be, in your view, the best place to look to get a letter of reference?
So overarchingly, what we are looking for is someone who is in a position to evaluate you doing something meaningful. And so the categories of that generally fall for most people into two areas. The number one thing law schools want to see is academic references, because they want people who have taught you to talk about the kind of student that you are, and also perhaps a professional reference, depending on your professional experience level. Talk about how you are in the workplace and you know, things such as skills that would be applicable to your work in law. For example, how you work with clients, problem-solving skills, writing skills, presentation skills, business acumen, et cetera. So all of those things can be addressed in a work letter of reference. Sometimes people also get creative and look elsewhere if they don't have access to academic letters and or a professional letter. You can get creative. It can maybe come from a volunteer experience, an internship experience, extracurricular experience. But for the most part, academic and professional letters are what we're looking for.
Okay. Now, would you advise somebody presumptively to get one of each type, or does it depend on the applicant and what the other aspects of their application would be, grades, for example?
Well, everyone's a little bit different, of course. Blanket advice is a dangerous thing. But I would say, for the most part, the number one thing law schools would like to see is an academic letter of rec. Sometimes that's just not possible, and preferably two academic letters of rec. But sometimes you just can't do that. Sometimes you're out of school. Sometimes professors don't know you. Sometimes you only have, you know, you went to school online, whatever the factors. So in that case, you would get creative and focus on professional letter. In most cases, internship letters are not all that meaningful because they tend to be very generic, and you know, most people aren't really doing anything that impressive as an intern. So unless you're an intern somewhere for a very long period of time and, you know, doing really in-depth substantive work, that's not usually a super persuasive letter. But if you have significant professional experience and can get a letter, that can bolster your application.
So a letter of reference needs, obviously, to address things that are meaningful to the law school and the admissions decision. So,
of course.
So let's begin with an academic letter, for example. One of the problems here, I think, is that with bigger and bigger, at least for some people, depending on where you went to school, in many cases, they don't know their professors very well, or often don't know them well enough to feel comfortable asking for a letter. What would you advise in a situation like that?
Well, I'd advise you to think ahead, first of all. If you think this is going to be a problem for you and you're thinking ahead to law school, make time to get to know your professors now if you're still in school, or reach out to professors that you haven't reached out to in a while and reconnect. But if that's the case, you can still ask someone. A recommender doesn't have to know your innermost thoughts and character. A recommender just has to be able to speak to your academic abilities. So if you have a professor who can speak to your writing skills, your presentation skills, the kind of student that you are, how you participate in a classroom, then that is a good enough threshold to ask that person. If you really don't have an academic letter, many times people have gone to graduate school, you can ask a graduate school professor. There can be other ways to do it. Sometimes people have audited classes or taken a class online, and that could work. But for the most part, if you just don't have an academic letter, you've been out of school for a while, you don't have something, then you're going to have to go to plan B because what you don't want is a mediocre letter in your application or a weak letter. You want everything to be strong. So if you're not going to be able to get that strong academic reference, then you go to plan B.
All right. Now, one of the problems that I have seen over the years is that it's one thing to get somebody to agree to provide you with a letter, but you got to be careful to make sure that the expectation is that the letter would be helpful to you. And good reference letters do take time to develop. Do you have any advice for how an applicant could take steps to ensure that the letter coming from the professor would be a positive letter?
Yes. So you want, when you ask someone to write a letter of rec, you want to ask them whether they can write a strong recommendation on your behalf, an enthusiastic recommendation on your behalf, rather than just a recommendation. Also, you want to pick up on any cues. You want to pick up on, is this person excited to be doing this, or are they making a bunch of excuses for how they can't do it for 3 months, and they're not sure they're the best person. So you have to pick up on some cues. Sometimes you just have to say thanks, but no thanks. if you're picking up on cues that the letter wouldn't be a strong endorsement of your candidacy for law school. There are also, you can offer to give the person writing the letter some resources. You can ask whether you can resubmit papers or give them bullet points as reminders of things that they could speak to that they know about you firsthand. But that is really the key. You want your recommenders to write about things they know about you firsthand, not things they're learning about you because you're telling them. So, for example, I don't believe in giving recommenders personal statements because then they just regurgitate them and you're not getting anything new added to the file. I don't recommend having them write about something they didn't supervise you doing. So you don't want your economics professor to write about the fact that you're president of your fraternity unless that person was also the advisor of your fraternity. You really want the person's letter to be credible and speak from firsthand experience.
So would it make sense to open the conversation with something like this? Hi, Professor X. For many years, it's been my goal to apply to law school. As part of that process, I require an academic reference letter and then paying close attention to them to watch for cues. Do you feel that you could, and would you be willing to write me a positive reference letter for law school?
Yes, I think that's a good framework. I think right now it's hard to ask people in person since most school is online, so you're going to have to pick up on cues in other ways. But yes, I think that's a great entry point to let the person know that you don't need a letter for another 6 to 8 weeks, for example, that you have plenty of time, to let them know that the format will be that you will have LSAC send them email instructions for how to upload their letter, give them that information and offer to give them any information that they would find helpful in putting the letter together.
Now, one of the concerns that I've noticed that law school applicants have, and probably continue to have, is the issue of the sort of ranking of the professor. Is it a full professor? Is it an associate professor? Is it a teaching assistant, for example?
I do not share that concern. I think that so long as the person is qualified to evaluate you and can write a meaningful letter, they know you well enough to do so, I don't care about the person's title or status, among faculty.
Okay. Now, let's move over for a minute to the non-academic reference. In my experience, not only are these harder to get people to do, but they're much less reliable in terms of what they actually might say. In other words, they're less helpful to admissions committees because, people who aren't used to doing this really have no idea how to write an academic reference. Would you agree with that?
Not really, to be honest. I feel that these are actually the most moldable letters because these are the people who will want your assistance and input. And so you'll have more opportunity to give them a sample letter or even write a draft for them or an outline or bullet points. So I actually think these are the more moldable letters rather than the person, rather than unpredictable.
So in other words, it's almost because of the lack of experience in this area that there's better opportunity to get your own input on format and what the relevant considerations might be.
Yes.
Okay. Now, You were on a law school admissions committee, I believe. Is that correct?
Well, I was director of admissions at two different law schools, so yes.
You've read a rather large number, to put it conservatively, examples of letters of reference.
Well, and I've been doing nothing but law school admissions for like 19 years. So yes, I've read a lot of letters of recommendation.
Would it be fair to say that law school references are part of your DNA at this point?
Fair to say.
Okay. Now, in most cases, in your experience, are letters of reference positive, completely neutral, or negative?
A letter of recommendation that is not enthusiastic will tank your application.
Okay.
Most letters of rec are positive. The ones that are really detailed, really impactful, help your application. The ones that are normal, positive endorsements of your application are non-factors, because that's what law schools expect. But if there's anything that's wishy-washy or not enthusiastic, and I have examples of these in my book, The Law School Admission Game, which the fourth edition is coming out this summer. I have examples in there of what's a great letter of rec, what's a fine one, and what's a not helpful one. Because if they're not good, they will tank your application. It's actually the first thing that I ask people if they come to me and they say, Anne, I applied to law school this year. I'm not happy with my results. I didn't get into schools where my numbers would say I should. I have no character and fitness issues to report. I applied early in the cycle. My first thought is they had a terrible letter of rec in there.
You know, in my experience with this, I think that a lot of people actually have no idea how the, you know, whether these letters will be helpful or not. They just sort of think that, you know, they get somebody to agree to do this and, you know, job is done. But it sounds to me as though what you're saying is that it's only a minority of reference letters that are actually very helpful.
Well, they have to be really good to be very helpful. If they're good, then they do what they need to do. And if they're less than good, then they may be hurting your application. Because the letters of rec are these are the only people who get to speak other than you in your law school application. So that carries weight with the law schools. Plus, you're talking about people who the law schools should respect their opinions. So you want them to endorse you. And if they don't, law schools will wonder why.
I assume you would agree that, agreeing to do a reference letter for somebody is a major commitment, both time-wise and I think sort of a moral sense. Would you agree?
Yes, it should be if they're doing it right.
Okay, so it's important, okay, and this is me, not you, talking for a minute, okay? I think it's extremely important that law school applicants realize this when they approach people to write them letters and do not convey anything that suggests that somehow, you know, it's just part of the professor's job or that it's a minor thing or anything like that. Because I think that these things do have an impact on how somebody feels about you at the time that they're doing the letter. All right. Now, it was interesting to me that you said earlier that you do not think as a general principle that the recommender should see the personal statement.
That's correct. I think they lean on it as a crutch. If your recommender asks you for a statement of purpose or something about why you're going to law school, write them up a page on why you're going to law school that they can use and incorporate. But if you send them your actual personal statement and they lean on that, then all they are doing is repeating something that's already in your application. It's really not helpful to the law schools.
So in other words, put together a separate document or advisory thing that sort of extrapolates from the personal statement, but is not the personal statement.
I wouldn't say extrapolates. I would say just summarize why you want to go to law school and hopefully what experiences you've had with the person writing the letter that have influenced that decision. So if it's a faculty member who taught you a certain area of public policy or something, you can incorporate how that was one of the reasons that you want to go to law school, one of the things that prepared you for law school. Start to talk about, you know, use it to feed the recommender with information you would want them to include.
Right. All right. Well, that's all very, very interesting. And going back again to something you said earlier, which I think is important, is that the process of getting letters of reference should not be seen as, you know, a 30-day or 60-day process when you're applying to law school. These are relationships that ideally you'd want to cultivate along the way.
Of course.
All right. Would you go so far as to say that the first day somebody starts their bachelor's program, you should be targeting the people who are going to be doing reference letters for law school?
I think that's probably unnecessary. But I think once you get into a groove and you start to, you know, you start to take a professor's class who you like, you should decide to take a second class with that professor, really get to know that professor, make efforts to go to office hours, get to know that person. But letters from your freshman year of college are not going to be impactful. So no, I don't think you have to be thinking about this from day one.
I was exaggerating. I wasn't that serious. But my point is simply this, that it is an ongoing process. And also, you know, so if you see a law school application as sort of the sum of its parts, I mean, clearly the letters of reference have to be consistent with the rest of the application, obviously, right?
Yes. Yes. So,
in your experience, would a high percentage or a reasonable percentage of professors be sort of forthcoming and saying, yeah, I'm happy to help you and, you know, I'm happy to have your contribution.
You cut out on me, John.
To what extent, in your experience, do recommenders invite the input of the applicant?
Pretty often.
Okay. And that's obviously something that should be taken very seriously as another opportunity to effectively market yourself, right?
Of course.
All right. Any final thoughts on the reference? Actually, one question before your final thoughts. How many times in your career have you seen reference letters where somebody actually said the person should not be admitted to law school?
Never.
Never once. Okay.
Never once. People are more decent than that and would simply not agree to write the letter.
All right. Final thoughts?
Well, I would just say that the best letters of recommendation have facts and details. So you don't simply want a letter of recommendation to say you're a bright and promising young, you know, prospective young attorney. Rather, you want someone who will really give examples of the qualities that they're expressing about you, whether it's how they know about your writing skills, what impressed them about the questions you asked, times they saw you act as a leader, real examples of things. That's what makes an impactful letter. And I have a lot more about this too on my blog at lawschoolexpert.com.
It's also what makes it very time consuming to do a good letter. Okay, wrapping this up, could you take a second and tell people your coordinates if they want to get in touch with you?
My website is lawschoolexpert.com. I have a blog there that I've been keeping since 2006. The Law School Admission Game is the book that, and the fourth edition will be coming out shortly. And I offer law school admission consulting services through Law School Expert. I have a contact form on the website and people are welcome to fill that out.
All right. Well, thanks for joining me today. We will pick this up with personal statements next time. Thanks very much, Ann.
Thanks for having me.